Hello, and welcome to another week of Honor the Johnsonian. I'm Lynn.
I'm Scooter. You can't get rid of me yet.
And today, we have a special guest with us. But before we get to that, we're going to do a little advice segment. This week, we're going to talk about trash.
We're going to talk about trash. I think we talked about trash a couple weeks ago, but guess what? We're talking about trash again.
Yeah. It has come to my attention that there are some people who are leaving their garbage out.
In the hallway.
And I'm pretty sure most places tell you in the floor meetings that you're not supposed to do that because the custodians aren't paid enough to do that.
Not at all.
And you can just take it outside. So we're going to do a little how-to on how to take out your trash.
It's going to be very similar to the how-to-do-your-laundry segment.
Yeah. Step one, tie up your trash. Step two, pull it out of the trash can. Step three, ask your floor groupmate where the trash can is outside. And then when they respond, step four, take it out and throw it out there. That's all.
It's best if you stick to your own trash bins. Each res hall, like, has their own trash bin that they're supposed to go to. And it's not that big of a deal, but they really don't like it very much if you go to other people's trash bins.
Also, why would you do that?
So much more effort, please.
Yeah. Take your trash out and don't leave it in the hallway because it gets stinky and I don't like it.
The hallway smells like trash and nobody likes it when the hallway smells like trash.
Yeah. All you have to do is walk out.
It's not that hard.
And throw it out, and then you're good.
Slam bam, thank you ma'am, voila.
Yeah, advice segment over. Wrap it up, everybody, we're good. So moving on to something a little bit more important. Today, our artist spotlight is a student at Winthrop, Julia Breitkreutz. Say hello.
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Tell us a little bit about yourself as an artist.
Okay, so I am a writer and I like to do digital art, but mainly like writing is what I really want to do. So yeah, I guess I got into writing through Dr. Hoffman's fiction writing classes. I really learned that I wanted to do it and like it's really terrifying writing to put yourself out there, but I guess it's worth it in the end.
Yeah, so do you have a preferred like medium of writing?
Yeah, I definitely prefer short stories and like flash fiction, but probably longer form short stories. Like Alice Munro is one of my big inspirations, and she like writes in the longer form of the short story. But I like to experiment with like flash, definitely because of the fiction classes I've taken, but poetry, I have not really attempted that yet. And creative nonfiction, I think it's kind of hard for me because like I don't really like to evaluate my past as much through like I don't know, like my memories are kind of like I don't really trust my memories of the past, so it's like creative nonfiction is more difficult. That's why I like fiction, because I can create characters and impart my experiences through them, but like in a different way and create situations. So yeah, definitely short stories and fiction.
Okay. So, yeah. Yeah, no, I understand the creative nonfiction struggle.
That's so cute.
Yeah, I,
not your struggle, the fiction part, just to clarify.
Yeah, no, I think fiction is, I guess, like, an easier medium, because you get to put yourself in it without having to, like, dig through your memories and try to figure out which parts of it are true or not.
Exactly, which is always hard, because, like, the truth is, like, I guess, like, relative. I don't know, it's, like, hard to remember things correctly. That's why creative nonfiction was, like, really... It was challenging. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
I guess for a lot of people, I imagine the creative nonfiction, though, is, like, working through that bias and trying to, like, reevaluate.
It's really hard, yeah.
Yeah. It's, like, getting to the tentative truth. But, you know, it's also, like, a whole process. Not to say that
emotional
fiction writing...
Processing.
Yeah, yeah. Not to say that fiction writing can't also be, like, very difficult in that same way, but... There's a little bit more. You don't have to worry so much about, like, oh, am I conveying this, like, accurately?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like how you should be careful if you're going to method act, which is very touch and go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You said Alice Munro is one of your writing inspirations. So do you have any others?
Yeah. So another female writer, short story writer I really like is Lucia Berlin. And I also really like the works of Raymond Carver. His prose is more, like, sparse. But I think part of that was the editor, like, influence, like, kind of made it more sparse, like, and that's, like, a misconception about his writing.
What does that mean, if his prose is sparse?
It's...
For the non-English majors.
Yeah, so, like, there's, like, something called purple prose, like, that we talk about in, like, in writing classes where it's, like, very flowy and there's, like, super... You can expand upon this, too, like...
Yeah, so purple prose is, like, when you're writing kind of almost excessively And a lot of times it can be characterized by seeming like you're trying too hard.
Yeah, to describe something.
Yeah, so you might end up using, like, cliched descriptions or, like, trying to use overly beautiful language. Mm-hmm.
Flowery.
Flowery is another way you can describe it.
Which is pretty. Like, I also really like flowery prose at times. But, like, I think just in general I'm more into, like, also, like, realism. But I also like Karen Russell. And I think you've probably read, like, Vampires in the Lemon Grove by her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I like that.
Yeah, that one was good, and that was more magical realism. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm trying to think of inspiration. Stephen Milhauser is another one. His is more like magical realism as well. I like that. And I feel like I have to like discover a lot more short story writers. But right now I just finished a novel by William Faulkner, which I actually really liked. Obviously some stuff doesn't age well, but I just like how he compresses and expands like time. And, like, the whole, like, concept of, like, time, like, then storytelling, I think is really well done in his work. But, yeah, so those are a few of my inspirations. I try to read a lot of short stories. I haven't, like, sometimes I don't read whole collections, but I, like, pick a, like, a, especially on, like, online literary magazines, I'll read, like, people's short stories, but I can't really think of names right now. But, yeah, Lucia Berlin and Alice Munro and Raymond Carver are three big ones.
Yeah. So you mentioned magical realism a couple times. Do you end up writing any magical realism? Or I guess a better question might be, what subjects and, like, genres do you tend to cover?
Yeah, actually, the piece I'll be reading is more, like, it's, like, absurdist, almost like magical realism, because it's about, like, a couch that eats my mother. Or The Couch Ate My Mother is actually the title, and that's more absurdism and, like, surrealism. But I like to use that for, like, flash fiction. But if I do a longer-form short story, I tend to do more realism just because I like that more. It just, like, feels more natural to write in that. But I really like when people can do magical realism, or, like, absurdism is really fun to me as well. Or, like, worlds that are, like, I don't want to sound pretentious, but, like, Kafka-esque, that are, like, just strange, you know? I don't mean to use Kafka-esque, but, like, it's, like, creating, like, weird worlds where it's, like, unsettling. I think that's cool to be able to do that. I haven't really done that myself.
Yeah.
But yeah, so.
No, writing comes naturally to you can be very different from the stuff that you like to read yourself.
Exactly, because, like, I don't know, I feel like if I tried to write like that, it'd be.
It's really hard to imitate sometimes, just because it's like, you can really admire it because it is not anywhere in your wheelhouse.
Exactly.
And I say your, I mean, like, mine also.
In case you haven't noticed, I'm in a room with a bunch of nerds.
Yeah. Hey, listen, we don't want to get you started on Sweeney Todd, so.
All right, listen.
You're not out of the realm of being a nerd.
I will make...
You complimented my neutral English, so...
We'll get to that later.
Yeah. So would you like to go ahead and read your piece?
Yes, for sure.
Alrighty.
It's a flash fiction. So this is called The Couch Ate My Mother. The couch unhinges its gray jaws, and my mother's unresisting body sinks into the wide gap between the soft cushions. When I first notice the couch is eating my mother, the slight folding of her pelvis into the gray polyester fabric is so subtle of a shift that I would have easily glanced over if not for the noise, thick and wet, like leaving the YMCA as a kid. With the beach towel wrapped around my small frame, I remember how my orange Crocs quickly filled with a thin puddle of water that had dripped off my body. The sound of my skin and the chlorine water coming together in the confined space made me laugh as I walked with my mother, hand in hand, across the hot pavement towards our van, a squelching sound. The couch's black, slimy tongue has revealed itself and is wrapping around my mother's thin, unshaven calves. It releases the sick gray goo across her wasted body, like the glistening trails slugs leave behind on our driveway. I grab and pull on my mother's arm, we all do, but the action only seems to increase the rate at which the couch devours her. There are the pills, yellow and white and some pink, that Dr. Gordon tells us we must give her 3 times a day. Dr. Gordon has a thick belly upon which he folds his wide hands when we tell him that the pills aren't working, that our mother is still being eaten. He is already scribbling a prescription for more pills as we speak. I wonder what color they will be this time, what shape. I hold my mother's head up and away from the floral patterned pillow and notice the indentation her head has made in the fabric. I press the glass to her thin, chapping lips. As the orange juice drains from the glass, I find myself wondering exactly how long it takes for the colorful pills to exert their power after dissolving within a body. Soon, all that is left of my mother's body is her head and neck. We take turns spoon-feeding her vanilla yogurt mixed in with strawberries for breakfast and warmed-up beef stew for dinner. I fill up a red bowl with warm water and massage shampoo into her hair, cupping the water in my hand and rinsing away the suds as she sinks a little deeper, the end of her chin now hidden. There is a moment in which I think I notice a flicker in her eye. For an instant, I convince myself that she is actually looking at me as if she suddenly remembers that I am her daughter and that she is my mother. Just as quickly as it is there, it disappears and the couch makes a slurping noise, taking a few centimeters more of her into that space which we cannot reach.
This is off topic from literally everything, but if you're a theater person and you're taking voice for the actor, you should listen to Julia because she has a really lovely neutral English dialect. I'm just saying. I know you're having a hard time with it. I know. I've been there.
Anyway, so that was published in X-Ray Literary Magazine. You can find it online. Is there anywhere else that you've been published?
So, yeah, I had a short story published in, it's called Cotton Alley Writers Review, and it's through the York County literary competition that's like held once a year. So I placed in that, yeah, second place. But besides that, I've had a book review published, but I've had a lot of rejections. Yay. Because that's part of like any writer or artist life is like rejections. And you just gotta, you know, I like getting a little rejection email because it's, I don't expect to get into these like big ones that I send to, but
that is super sage advice. P.S. Just saying.
Yeah.
You should listen to Julia more.
Yeah. Julia is a wise soul.
Rejection is part of the process.
Yeah. If you ever take one of Dr. Hoffman's classes, for writing, he will pull up his giant sheet of yes. rejections and acceptances and everything that he's ever submitted, and it is very humbling.
Yes,
because if you haven't ever submitted anything, you have a lot to look forward to.
Yeah, just don't give up, because there's like a lot of great writers, I feel like, that gave up too soon because mm-hmm. they got, and also there's like the problem of peaking too early. If like you hit like, you get success really early and then you're like on this pedestal and you're like, oh, what? Like my best is behind me now. So that's not me at all. I'm not saying that, like, but I've heard that's happened. We talked about that in Dr. Hoffman's class. Like, that's why like rejection at the beginning is good, because you like hone your craft if you keep going with it. And like, I don't know, you just get better. And you should write like not to get always, like obviously you want people to read your work, but you should write just because of the feeling of write. That sounds so cheesy, but like you write for yourself too, like, obviously you want people to read your work though, but just keep writing, I guess, if you're writing or creating art yeah. or anything.
That's how all art should yes. be, or else you are going to burn yourself out and yeah. nobody wants that.
Exactly.
Art doesn't need to be productive necessarily. Like a lot of writing, like what is fulfilling about it is the relationship, like the expectation that it's going to be read. But you are also a reader. And yeah, if you exactly. write something, you can just be your own audience. Like that's why some of the most interesting things that have like come from writers throughout history have been like their diaries, mm-hmm. Which is mortifying to think about. But like I've read some of E.M. Forster's mm-hmm. personal letters, because they've been like compiled, and some of the stuff in there is like really encouraging. Or, you know, mm-hmm. you see someone and they say something in a personal letter and you're like, wow, you know, connections across time.
Yeah, I love letter reading. I think that's like really cool, actually. It's yeah. like very intimate, like, I don't know.
It is also perfectly valid for you to want your work to get noticed. Just going to put that out there.
Yes.
I feel bad about that all the time.
Yes.
I shouldn't feel bad about it, because that's valid. You're doing what you love and you want to make other people happy.
Yeah, I think that's like a thing that's like not talked about. Obviously, you like want to have your work noticed to some extent, at least, because it's like, I don't know, it's like weird, because it is for yourself, but it's also for like, because I don't know, it's just nice to have your work seen and validated. Like, I don't know, I feel like you have to have like your own level of like personal validation for your stuff, but like it's nice to also have that, and you will get it as if you keep going with it.
Yeah,
it'll come.
Yeah,
you got this.
Yeah,
keep pushing.
Yeah,
yeah.
Motivations.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously, like it's a fine line to toe. Like you want to be in a position where you're like writing and you're comfortable with not being like immediately recognized
yeah.
or something. But you know, like you're writing and. In the same way that we read things mm-hmm. that other people write and we connect to them and it makes us feel the good feelings, you want to be able to put something out in the world that other people can get the good feelings from.
Yeah, that's just, like, it's so cool to think about. Like, one day you'll, like, make something and other people, like, feel, like, have a reaction to it. That's like, it's like, wow, you created, I don't know, that's cool to think about, but.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's, so cool. That's why wanting to have your work noticed is
valid feeling.
Super normal. as is not wanting to push yourself to the point where you're just like, I need to crank out stuff so that I can get noticed.
Yeah, exactly. Out there. And burnout, early burnout.
Yeah. Don't want that to happen.
Amen.
Yeah. Any final short words of wisdom to any other artists out there?
What I would say is like creating, it's like hard work, and to try to create even when it's hard, like to get past that hump of like, I don't know, like don't wait for the muse to come to you. Like you have to work even when there's like no, I feel like you have to work when there is no inspiration. Because what I often find is like writing, even when it's always the beginning that gets me, like the beginning a story. But once I really get into it and involved with the story, it flows easier, I guess, even though it's like not always super easy. But just keep doing it even when it's hard. And I guess try to carve out some time. Also, like, be aware of your mental health and stuff and your emotional health. Like, don't, like, push yourself. But try to do it at least a little something. Like, even if you just, like, maybe journal if you don't feel like making, like, a story or something. Just try to do what you love, I guess. And very basic, but.
Yeah. Well,
good advice.
Thank you for your advice, and thank you for coming on and sharing your work with us.
Yes, thank you.
Do you have any socials you'd like to plug?
Sure. You can follow me on Instagram at, I have two. I have one for like more like art stuff, which is juliabreitkreutz.art. And so it's juliabreitkreutz.art. And my main is just Julia_BREITKREUTZ. Yeah, my last name is a trip. So yeah, that's about all the social I have.
Complicated last names club.
Can't relate. I have a book I can reference.
Oh, true.
Here's a who. Very handy. Didn't like it as a kid. Didn't like it as a kid, but now it's handy. All right. Well, thank you, Julia, again for coming on.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
I enjoyed this.
Have a lovely rest of your week. Thank
thanks.
You. All right. Thanks to Julia once more.
Thank you.
Everyone give her a follow because she is a great writer and also makes really cool digital media. And now, the news.
Hi. The news this week is that the Chick-fil-A is still closed because one of the employees tested positive for COVID probably about a week and a half ago, something like that. This brings me to my, you know, real topic, which is how there is no food.
Short news
ever.
Segment.
There's no food ever. Everything closes in Diggs at about 7 to 8, and it's worse on the weekends.
For some reason.
Except for Starbucks. Starbucks is usually open until 9 or 10:30, something like that, which is less than it was open last semester, but it's okay. Eagle Eatery, excuse me.
Thompson,
yeah. So Thompson closes at 7:30 p.m. every day. Not to be a theater kid, but we have rehearsals a lot. And when everything closes at 7:30 to maybe 8, it makes it hard for us to eat just a bit. I'm just saying. On the bright side, though, Einstein's is back open until 2, which is incredible because it was open only until 11 last semester and everyone was really sad about it. But it's open until 2 again. Yay!
Yeah. Get yourself a breakfast bagel or a breakfast burrito.
Bortito.
Or anything else they have there because it's all pretty good.
Like pizza bagels. Pizza bagels are okay.
Yeah. I enjoy a bacon, egg, and cheese on plane because I am pleased by most basic breakfast foods.
I like the egg and cheese on either cheesy hash brown or four cheese, whatever the heck they have that day.
Yeah.
Who knows?
And that was the news.
Yay!
Now for everyone's favorite segment on Air the Johnsonian, mask count.
The TJ mask count. My guys, this week, it is up from 6 to 18. That is an increase in 12, and we still weren't really looking. Please put your masks in the trash can if they're disposable. And if they're not disposable, why is it on the ground? You need that. Put it in the wash, please.
Frankly, if you're just throwing your mask on the ground, you're a freak. And I have no sympathy for you. what possesses a person? That's literally just littering. Like,
yeah, it is.
Guys, let me just throw my trash on the ground. You know, I don't need it anymore. It's fine if, like, I ruin the environment in a small way like this.
Remember how our advice segment today was about trash? put your disposable masks in the trash.
And then put your trash in a dumpster and not in the hallway.
Please, I'm tired of the hallway smelling like trash.
Official mask count so far.
18.
You people disgust me.
Oh my god.
Listen, it's really easy to not throw your trash on the ground.
That is fair.
Yeah, I put it in my pocket, so I just have pocket trash.
Pocket trash.
It's, frankly, it's a defensive measure, because if someone comes up to me, I can throw it at them.
You should trademark that.
Yeah, pocket trash. I'm sure the investment shark fellas will be all over
Shark Week?
No, there's a Shark Tank.
Oh, yes.
That's the shark.
This stays shark in the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm sure the Shark Tank buddies are all going to be super on top of my pocket trash idea.
Pocket trash defense.
Anyways, just put your trash in the trash can.
It's not that hard.
And then put your trash can trash in a dumpster and not the hallway or anywhere else. Just...
It's very basic stuff, not to be condescending. It's very basic stuff.
Just be a person. Like, really, you know, at this point, just...
Guys, come on.
Do people things.
Come on.
Because it is a crime to litter. So if you would like to come on like Julia did today and talk about your art and give some stuff for us to present to our audience, you can email us with a request to come on for an interview, or you can just say, hey, I would like a little mini artist spotlight. Here's some of my work. You can read it out or describe it, because we will accept photos and paintings and drawings and even little cute little doodles.
Pet pictures?
Pet pictures also. Furthermore, if you'd like to submit any questions you have for our advice segment, be they silly or serious, but preferably silly, because we've only got one brain cell between the two of us, and I don't think that we can give you a super great answer. If you ask a serious question that you want answered for realsies, I can't promise you're going to get a great one, but silly ones are going to get a great answer no matter what. And also, if you have a story from around campus or the Rock Hill area that you'd like to have shared, but you don't think it would really qualify getting in the newspaper, send us an email as well, and we can get you on here or get a statement and read it out on the podcast.
Pretty please.
Pretty please. And you can send those emails to HortonL@mytjnow.com. That's HortonL@mytjnow.com. We greatly appreciate any submissions. Not that we've gotten any. Listen, like I said, there's only so much funny I can do and Scooter can do when we don't have any content to work with. We are coming up with this stuff off the top of our domes. But yeah, we would really appreciate submissions if you have any. Like we said, they don't have to be like super in-depth. Your artist spotlight can be as simple as a sticky note doodle. Or something that you put in your notes.
It will be funny.
It will be good. Not funny. We're not going to make fun of
their
art.
If it's
art.
A funny little doodle, it can be funny.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just don't want
We will not make fun of your art.
We will not make fun of your art.
No.
That would be super rude, and I would never do that to anyone.
That was not the implication.
No, absolutely not. But if you have anything to submit, submit it.
Please. If you're interested in maybe reading some of our actual newspaper, not just the podcast, if you are on Spotify, you can hop over to mytjnow.com and you can read the articles there, or you can find a physical copy. They're floating around campus. There you can read a little bit more about the Chick-fil-A closing and keep an eye out on your emails. They said they will email us when it is back open. Who knows when that will be?
We'll find out together.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to another episode of On Air the Johnsonian. And remember, stay safe.
Wear your mask.
Make some art.
And have a lovely, fantastical rest of your week.
Bye.
Bye.